Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the I Want More Action podcast. You can find all our podcast episodes at www.iwantmoreaction.com. Frank, what Chris. Cool movie are we jumping into today?
Today's cool movie is The Doorman. And The Doorman is about a woman returns from combat and befriends a family in New York City. A gang of thieves plot to take the family's valuables, and she is all that stands between them and their lives.
I love it. The Doorman.
Yeah, The Doorman.
It's about a woman.
Yeah, Doorman is played by Ruby Rose. Yeah.
So it's directed by Ryuhei Kitamura. It stars Ruby Rose and the man, Jean Reno.
Yes, the man himself.
Jean Reno looks good in this film.
He's great. Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, he's looking good. He doesn't look old.
No, he was surprisingly, his performance was really good, actually. Like, all things considered, like, you think he's going to ham it up, and he doesn't at all. Like,
no, he doesn't.
He actually plays a really good villain in this film. Like, it's very realistic. It's down to earth. Like, you actually kind of feel for him in the movie. Like, it's good.
He has a very Hans Gruber feel to him.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's not bad. He's not evil. Like, he just wants, okay, like, not much of a spoiler, but he's looking for stolen paintings from, like, World War II or something. And, like, he's not evil. He just wants these million-dollar paintings that he's trying to bring back, I guess, to his country or sell or whatever. But, like, he just wants the paintings. He's not trying to hurt anybody. The building is supposed to be evacuated for, like, construction over Easter or Sunday or whatever. So no one's supposed to be there. So, like, no one's supposed to get hurt or whatever. So, like, you know, he's not like a full-on, like, evil monster villain in this or anything.
One part, like, the building was supposed to be empty and they wanted everyone to leave. The janitor's like, yeah, I'm going home now to have a drink. And then the guy kills him.
Just literally breaks a
pot. I'm like, why don't you let him go?
Yeah, just to make it... I was wondering why he did that to him. Because I thought, like, maybe he was going to, like... He needed him for something or whatever.
Me
like,
too, no, but he just tries... He doesn't succeed. He succeeds later.
Yeah.
He tries to kill him. I'm like, he just said he was leaving the building like you wanted.
Well, I guess, yeah, because he does say something like, oh, so you're going out, going home for dinner? He's like, oh, no, I'm not going home right now. I'm going home in a bit or something. I guess he wasn't leaving right away.
Oh, because he had to fix that old lady's microwave?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
but he was going to leave anyway.
Yeah,
like, he wasn't going to stay, but he's like, oh, too late. I'm going to break this glass over your head.
And then hit you in the head with a hammer.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
But that's the main henchman, anyway, what we're talking about. But it was just a stupid part because all they wanted was like, they didn't want to kill anyone. Well, Jean Reno didn't really want to kill anyone. He just wanted everyone out of the building so he could hunt for his painting.
Yes.
The only people he wanted in the building was this old couple that he used to work with, the husband.
Yes. He used to work with the husband back in World War II who actually has the paintings, who took them and was like hiding them in his apartment. Yes. And that's why he was
like the husband's way older than Jean Reno's character.
Yes.
Like he was some type of person, art dealer or something in World War II, and they stole these paintings, these famous paintings, and
in
they
Germany.
Tried to bring them here.
Yeah, they tried to save them. Yes, they brought them here to save them, but now
John wants them to sell them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The old lady was great. She was like, he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, he's always doing. Don't hurt him. And she tells
him a leg.
He literally says him in a leg, but he's like a paraplegic. He can't walk. And she literally tells him like, oh, he can't feel on that side. I was like, oh,
he can't feel in that leg. Stab him in the other leg.
Yeah. She's literally like, wrong leg, dummy. Get him in the other leg. They stab him.
He wakes right up. All right. Stabs him in the other leg.
Jono's like, thank you, ma'am. He's like, all right, stab him. Yeah. But the twist though here is that the apartment that the old man and his wife were in originally was on the floor on the top floor of the building, and they had moved to the bottom floor because he's old, and so the paintings are actually up on the top floor, which is a weird thing to leave behind when you're moving. But apparently he left them.
And Ruby Rose used to have a sister that was married to this guy who has two kids, and they live on the 10th floor.
They live in that room now.
Her uncle got her the job as the doorman in that building to try to make them reconcile with each other.
And her uncle is the guy who gets killed.
Yeah, he's the
going
to
fix her microwave and the henchman breaks a bottle over his head or whatever.
Popcorn guy.
Yes, exactly.
But you just have to watch the beginning. The first 15 minutes sets this up. It's not like, it sounds confusing, but it's not.
No, they get to the characters
and why they're there. Yeah. And it makes perfect sense why everyone's in the same building.
Yes, yeah.
What did you think of the movie itself? I thought it was great that it had like a budget and really good production value.
Yeah, this movie had a bigger budget than I was expecting. This movie definitely was slated to go into theaters, and if it wasn't for like COVID, it definitely would have been in theaters. Because it definitely had a budget. You could tell just by like the cinematography and the set design and like the stunt work and everything. Like, they definitely had a budget for this film. It all takes place inside, which I think was a good call for. Well, most of it takes place inside. I think it's a good call for most action movies because you can control the environment a lot better and you control the lighting a lot better and the camera work a lot better. And I think that's where this movie really shines. It's just like the cinematography and the camera work with the fight scenes. And so I think the guy, whoever, you know, the person who directed this really knew, like he knew what he was doing. He knew the fight scenes, what he needed to do, technically how to achieve it. And I think that's like where most of the money went to, really, was that.
And you know, all the effects, and we'll get into that after also, but everything's like practical.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really any CGI in the movie.
No,
that I noticed.
Yeah.
There's really fun stunt work. There's a lot of action. It's just it takes a little while for it to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
But once it picks up, there is a lot of actual action scenes going on.
I mean, there's a lot of Die Hard type movies.
Yes,
this is definitely a Die Hard type movie. Literally, like, a family's being held hostage. She's in the building running around, kind of like setting traps and like going through back doors and trying to hide and everything. So it's a very much of a Die Hard esque film. But and that's why, like, in all those kind of movies, the action usually takes a minute to get there. It ramps up slowly to add to the suspense of the situation that the person's in.
But there's also how you make a decent villain.
Yeah, exactly. It also, to set up the plot for the villain and make it, like, why... It just sets up the plot for the movie itself. And also, like, I like it because in this movie, it does add to the suspense of it, just because, like, they're not out to kill anybody, but they are, like, they are criminals. They are... I'm going to say that they're not really terrorists. They're just, like, thieves. They're just, like, criminals. But it does add to, like, you know right away, like, where it's going about the families in the apartment upstairs and what's going to happen. Like, you know she's not there and she's going to be running about the building. And, again, it's a Die Hard-esque film, but it's done right, though. There are Die Hard-esque movies that are done bad, like Welcome to Sudden Death, but this is definitely not one of those type of movies.
Yeah, Welcome to Sudden Death. That's what happens when you just tell people this is the villain, but you don't actually build a good villain.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, he has to act, like, goofy and crazy to make himself sound, like, evil.
Like, you have one scene with Jean Reno not even being evil, and you know he's a bad guy. He's a bit of a bad guy. Then
the
entire
music
movie.
Plays, he turns in, like, a sinister way. You're like, villain.
Yes, exactly. You just know he's a really good, charismatic bad guy.
Yes.
Like, he's bad, but he's not a bad person. Like, you know he's not a bad person. That those make for some of the best villains ever.
So let me ask you something. Do you think Ruby Rose has what it takes to be a big action star in Hollywood?
I think she has what it takes to be a big action star in straight-to-video films. I just don't think she has what it takes to be a big action movie in Hollywood. I think, especially nowadays, unless you're playing a superhero, it's extremely hard to be a recurring action movie star in general. Like, unless you're The Rock or you know, Jason Statham, even those guys have a hard time getting action movies produced, right? Like, somebody like her, like, she's played Batwoman on TV, and she's been in, you know, John Wick 2 and everything, but... I just don't think she doesn't have the acting ability, I think, to handle full-blown Hollywood big-budget action films on her own. I think she's much better using these smaller budgeted, like, straight-to-video releases, because I think she does really well in these. I think she's a good action star. I don't think she's a great actress. I think she is a really good action star. I think she knows, she has this really good self-awareness how she looks on screen. She knows kind of like how to play the part that she's given, but I don't think she has much of a range to do much of anything else. And I think to be a Hollywood action star, you got to have a bit more charisma than that.
I was just going to say, I think the one thing that she's lacking, she has the look. She mm-hmm. has, she's a good screen fighter.
She does
her own stunts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she's likable, but she's not charismatic.
Not at all. No.
And like, that it factor is what makes someone like a bad actor, like, say, Jason Statham,
mm-hmm.
still really fun to watch on screen in
the
Hollywood
movie. Exactly, because he has charisma.
Yeah.
He has charisma. You know, she doesn't. Like, she's monotone. She has one mood the whole movie. She's very, like, stoic in the whole movie. And she always is. Like, I mean, she's playing Batwoman. Like, she's stoic. It's not, you know, there's nowhere to go from there. You can't be funny, you can't be quirky, you can't be, you know, you can't, you have nothing to do. Like, you literally have only one direction, that's being the stone cold, you know, stoic guy. And it's like
she's so stoic in a lot of her movies, even in this one. I didn't buy any of the scenes when she's hanging out with the kids.
Exactly.
I didn't see her as like cool aunt.
Like you're not empathetic at all. Like no, I don't believe that no. You feel for anything at all. Like almost to the point of like a sociopath. Like
yes,
I don't believe you have any emotions whatsoever. Which in certain very particular roles can work.
Like in John Wick 2.
Like in John Wick 2. Yeah. And even this movie to a degree, but like you said though, when she's with the kids, like I don't buy the whole like, oh, you're being fun, you're having fun time with the kids, you're giving kids candy, whatever. Like, I just don't buy it. Like, I don't believe that at all. Like, and it's rough because this movie does not really ask much of her in that regard, and there's not much there for her to give anyway. So,
like, there's this side plot going on where like, this guy was marrying her sister, and he cheated on the sister with her. Which that's what I assume happened from the little bit.
Yeah. They don't really get too much.
But she leaves him like while they're cheating. She goes off to the army to protect the sister's marriage, so she doesn't.
Yeah, because she feels guilty. Yeah.
It's stupid, very stupid.
Yeah, because I don't believe for a minute that those two got people would hook up.
It's not even only that. It gives you like no empathy for the sister that died, so you feel bad for the kids.
Yeah.
It's like the two of them are like totally okay with the cheating. Like not the kids, the two adults.
Yeah. It's like, oh, remember what we used to have, this and that? Like,
yes, and I'm like, wait, it's you're like cheaters.
Yeah, it's like, you ruined this kid's life probably, like, you know, growing
yeah,
up and
seriously.
Everything. It's like, you're probably traumatized now, they're their dead mom and, like, their cheating aunt and everything, right? And the kids love her, like, as if she's, I don't know if the kids know anything even, I don't know if they know.
She just
knows
her the aunt, they don't really insinuate that they know about the cheating.
Yeah, probably not. But then
there's like that loving picture of them together cuddling the daughter flies and drawers.
Yeah, it's like, where you got this hanging around like in your house.
John Renault takes the drawing, he's like, who does this look like? I'm like, yeah, it's a great drawing, huh?
There's something with John, like talking about charisma, guy oozes charisma, dude. Like, and that's the thing, like, he makes up for all the other villains in this movie, because all the villains, they're all stock of bad guys, henchmen, like, you know, even Bill Burr's brother over there, where the other guy is, like
the main villain. Bill Burr's brother looks like him.
I kept on thinking about
Jack
that.
Jack Bill Burr.
But he plays against straight up traditional bad guy. Like it's nothing special.
The guy who was trying to get into the safe, I've seen him in a bunch of movies.
I just don't know who it was. Yeah, he has a bit of a character. He's kind of fun, you know, fun tech guy, whatever. Yeah. The other two Asian henchmen were probably kind of funny.
They were kind of funny, though. They were.
He's like, hey, how much you getting paid? How much you getting paid? Yeah, it's funny. It's cool. See, I like when they do little things because it gives them character.
Everyone interacted, and you're like, okay, everyone's like a person.
Yeah, even the other guy who she kills, the guy with the beard, the first guy she kills with the knife. Yeah. Even he had a bit of character. He's like, come on, honey. And she's staring at him. She's literally like, just grilling him. And he runs up to her.
The way she kills him, like, oh shit.
Yeah. No, it's good. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and then let's get into the action scenes. It's probably the funnest part of this movie is the different types of action scenes it has. We'll be back in about 5-6 seconds after we leave you a message from our sponsor, and we'll break the action scenes down. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So let's start with fights. What do you think of the fights, Frank?
I was generous with this because I was surprised with Ruby Rose's with her like athleticism and how well she could fight. I actually gave the fights a 4 out of 5 in this movie just because I was surprised at how well the fight scenes turned out because I wasn't really expecting much. I've never watched Batwoman. And like she gets down to John Wick, but I haven't seen John Wick 2 in a while to really remember how if she's even really good in that movie. But in this, you can really tell she knows how to fight. Like better than most other B-rate screen fighters out there. Like she trained for this. Like again, her athleticism, her moves, like she definitely has like that tactical fighting that Liam Neeson can do. Like she has the same kind of like style to her fighting, which I really enjoyed in it. But just overall, like I just enjoyed all the fight scenes. And there's a varied amount of fight scenes in this movie too. They do a bunch of different kind of fight scenes, which I was surprised that she could pull off with everybody else in the film. So yeah, definitely surprised.
I also actually gave them a 4 out of 5 because I was actually really impressed by the fact that they pulled the camera back and they didn't have to like quick cut and shaky cam her to look good.
Exactly.
And like she looked really good in the fights.
Yeah, you could tell she really knows how to fight.
Hit her marks. Obviously, the people that were fighting her were also stuntmen and knew how to fight.
And you could tell they didn't have to slow anything down.
Nope.
They didn't have to cut, edit around her, edit around the other bad guys, the villains, because they didn't know how to fight. Like everybody was competent in this. Everyone knew how to fight. And just overall, just like the look of the film, it's rare where like they can film a good fight scene and also make it look good. Like the fight scenes look like cinematic fight scenes.
Yes.
They're not just in some warehouse with flat lighting and they're just fighting each other. You know what I mean? They actually look like dramatic fight scenes, which.
What I also liked was, some of the camera work during the fight scene was like really creative. Like I was talking to you before we went on air that when he's at the end when she's fighting the guy in the scaffold, the camera keeps spinning like around and under the scaffold over while they're fighting. I was like, that's cool. That's different. Like that's not something I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And I like that in a fight scene. As long as it doesn't make you not see the
Or get
fight, then I'm
distracting.
okay
It's not
with it.
distracting, yeah, because something that could be very distracting. It takes you out of it. You're
It
like,
didn't
what are
go
they
on for too
doing?
long. It was like went on for like 2 seconds, but
Yeah, it's just a
it
quick
was
little
cool.
shot. Yeah. No, again, it's with the director, like that director definitely knew what he was making. He knew what was going to look good on screen, and he executed it correctly. Like again, it all looked good. Like and even this one scene where like they're like fighting on like these like it's like a room with like the electrical cords are
That was
hanging
cool
from it,
too,
and they're
yeah.
fighting and everything. So like again, there's various locations that they're fighting under, and it's just like they really mix it up in this. That's what I thought. It feels like they really mixed up the fight scenes.
The
It
only
wasn't
thing
too generic.
that like was a little corny, it didn't ruin anything, but like there was a lot of foreshadowing. So like
Oh
before the
yeah.
fight started, you saw the wire hit the water. Like you see a
Yes.
knife
Yeah.
sitting in something, and later
Yeah.
on, like
Like you knew
in
the
a
guys
fight,
got
they'd use it. Like
Yeah,
it was
you know the
a lot
guys
of
got
things was a
electrocuted and
foreshadow.
everything. Yeah, you know
Yeah.
what's happening before it happens, which is typical like action movie trope kind of
Yes.
stuff. And it didn't take me enough out of it to be
No, it
like,
didn't take
oh
me out of it
God,
at
here we
all, but I
go.
was like, okay, so there's gonna be an electrical. Someone's got electrocuted. But they kind of played on it that they'd foreshadowed it by having the guy like wobble and stuff. So like,
Because you kind of don't know what's gonna happen or not.
yes,
Like
yeah,
you know
exactly,
they
exactly. They
kind
knew he foreshadowed it, and he was like,
they.
let's play with that a little bit.
Yeah, they subvert your expectation a bit because you think you know what's gonna happen. Sometimes it does, but other times it doesn't. So it does play with, which is
Then
good.
she takes out all the cops in one take. I thought that was
Yes, it's
really good.
great. It's great. It's one take. Yeah, it's a really good shot. Yeah, it's from top looking down, just
Yeah,
seeing the
yeah. It
crocodile. It's
looks freaking awesome.
again, the cinematography in this movie surprised me how good it was. You're expecting like some generic like action movie flair, but like they really went above and beyond for these scenes more than they probably had to. It was a lot more thought put into it. Let's put it that way.
Like he would like the action fight, especially fight wise. The director's like, I really want to make a fun, good action movie with fun, good looking fights.
Yes, yeah, fight scenes. Fight
Yeah.
scenes, not just action scenes.
So for shootouts, I gave a 3 out of 5. There's a few fun shootouts, but there's nothing like crazy. Like the beginning, there's a shootout in the beginning which is like really, really good, and then there's like one or two little shootouts in the building. Like there's nothing insane. But the shootout in the beginning, it's pretty friggin' cool actually. How the way it's staged, pretty realistic. And then you got like Ruby Rose like taking everyone out like behind 2 car doors and trying to get people from one car to another. The beginning shootout itself got like most of the points because I was like, all right, this is the way you start a movie like right with a blast.
Yeah, I think you were a little bit generous. I gave it a 2 out of 5, not because they're bad, but just because that opening scene is probably the best, gun in the whole the gun action scene in the whole movie, really. Again, it's not as bad. It really is good. But that's really all there was for me was that one scene. Like it's again, like you said, that's how you start an action movie. Like that's exactly how you do it. But for me, it was like there really isn't really any gun action. Like they shoot at her and she's running,
There's
but
definitely
like
more fights than gun
there's
action.
way more fights than
There's
gun
about six
action.
fights in the movie.
And all the gun action is really just like them chasing and shooting at her.
Yeah.
It's really not like gunplay where like she's shooting back or taking them out or anything like that. But yeah, that opening scene really is good where it's a full on action set piece. That's really what it is. It's and it really
There's
is
cars blowing
it's
up all
oh
over the
yeah,
place
it's
and
all
stuff.
above
Like, it's
with
crazy.
rocket launches and everything. It's crazy. It's nuts. It's filmed well. It's executed really well too.
Using the pool tubes as rocket launches.
PVC pipe from Home
You
Depot painted black. And then again, listen, you have
gotta
your
use what you
budget,
gotta
but you
use as
gotta use
props, right?
exactly. Gotta save some money somewhere, right?
You know what? We noticed that because we look for stuff, but the average moviegoer would never
Oh,
notice
they
if it
have no
was.
idea. They have no idea. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's so quick. It's so fast. You don't even know really from it. That's all.
Stunt wise, I gave the stunts a 4 out of 5 because they're all practical. Every stunt in this movie is a practical stunt. There's some really, really good stunts. There's like a part where like she jumps through a window and jumps down like two stories.
Yes.
You just thank God, I guess, for her. She landed on some cushiony thing.
Yeah.
But there's also all the fighting is her doing all the fighting, rolling around, doing MMA moves. Yeah. Like, the stunts are really good.
Yeah. I actually gave it a 4 out of 5, too, for her, because she does all her stunts. Like, that's why, like, I mean, only some guys do their own stunts, too, but, like, you can tell, like, she really does all her own stunts. Like, there's no stunt man, there's no stunt woman. Like, it's all her. And you have to, like, you got to give points for that, because in most days, most, you know, today's day and age, you very rarely will you ever see that in any kind of action film, especially like for a woman. Like, most time they'll get like some stunt woman in there to do it because they want the actress to get
like Tommy Blonde's like last time we saw something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, so like, you have to appreciate that. And it's, and again, it's done really well. Like, they're good stunts. They're not some bullshit like, oh, she's a girl and we're just giving her points because the girl's doing stunts. Like, they're really, really good stunts that she's doing, pulling off.
What do you do for special effects?
Special effects, I give it a 4 out of 5, only because I love the explosions in this movie. I love the last explosion. I just like how everything was practical in this movie. Like, even the stabbing and stuff that she does, explosions, there's one guy gets blown up with nails and stuff. Like, I don't know, just everything about it really felt real and visceral. Where like, in most of the movies, you know, there's a whole explosion, but you don't even really care what happened. But, like, in this movie, everything kind of, like, struck me as like just being realistic. So I kind of get an extra point. If it wasn't for the ending with the guy getting blown up, I think it would have got less point, but I just love that ending scene when he gets blown up. So I was like, all right, I'll give you an extra point for that. Literally gets like thrown through the air on fire, so it's cool.
I also gave it a 4 out of 5, and almost all the same reasons you did. And the guy get blown up at the end is just amazing. Cool looking.
It's awesome. Like, dude,
I don't know if they put a stuntman or a dummy to make fly across the screen, but it looked friggin' amazing.
That is one scene brought me back to the 90s in an instant. That's such a 90s set piece where the guy gets blown through on fire. I'm like, yes.
And never mind, he's on fire or he's going to die anyway. He has to get spiked.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's such a 90s cliche, but it's awesome. I was like, I love it. I was like, yes. See, that's how you end the movie. Like, that's because the guy just could have got shot or something. Like, you could have did something cheap with it, but like, no, they went all out for it.
Strangled him or something. But yeah, you're right. Exactly. They were like, we're gonna kill the main villain. Like you said, this looked like it was supposed to be in the theater.
Yes,
that's like that scene that they want to cheer. Yeah, like, everyone exactly. Like, oh,
yes. Like, oh man, like, that exactly. That was meant to be on the big screen.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That one scene right there was meant to be on the big screen. You know, it's unfortunate it wasn't.
Chase scenes, I gave a 1 out of 5, only because of the beginning little chase that goes on.
I figured,
you know, it is a chase. Doesn't go on for a long time, but it's not very exciting.
I mean, I guess,
shootout happens.
Yeah, exactly. And the shootout's not really even a chase. It's just that one chase. It only happens right in the woods, too. It's not really like a whole chase scene. I guess I give it a 1 out of 5, too, just because it is technically a chase scene in it there. Yeah.
But there's no other chase scenes.
No.
Like, yeah, she's running around the building, but no one's ever like... She does that thing where she jumps, but she's kind of getting shot at. She's not really getting chased.
She's getting chased. And by chasing, we usually mean either like a car chase or
parkour chase.
Parkour chase.
Like if Mission Impossible, like when he's running through the streets full speed.
Yes, yeah. Those are like chase scenes, really, what we're talking about. We're not really talking about like, they're running down a hallway after each other. Like, those aren't really like what we're talking about when we say chase scenes.
Like, it has to be a vehicle chasing a vehicle, boat, car, helicopter. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, or it's some kind of like stage chasing. Yes. Like, things are happening
like
in the
District B-13 style. Mm-hmm. Opening.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Overall, I gave the movie a 4 out of 5. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, same here, 4 out of 5, because you know it's one of those movies where like you don't expect it to be as good as it is, and you don't mind recommending it to people. You're like, oh, you want to tell people like, hey, you should watch it. It's actually
pretty
good.
The Doorman. It was a fun action movie.
Yeah, exactly. Fun action movie. Like, you know,
I went in expecting crap. I was like, this is going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Ruby Rose, oh, great, here we go. Like, I really thought they would have to edit around all her fighting.
Me too.
Cut out all the good stuff because she can't really fight. I'm like, oh, no. But totally was the other way around. It totally surprised me.
It's funny because, like, with our Atkins and Michael Jai White movies, they've just been disappointing lately. It's Ruby Rose who
comes out of nowhere with the winner. Yeah, really. Yay. Like, this is the movie that I'm going to tell my friends, like, oh, man, you got to go see.
Yes, me too.
I'm not telling them. We're not saying go see Welcome to Sudden Death.
No.
We're not telling them to go see, you know, Legacy of Lies or whatever. Like, we're not telling people to go see those movies. So, you could
Legacy of Lies and Seized. You can YouTube the fight scenes.
Yes, really, you can. Like,
Seas wasn't that bad.
Seas wasn't that bad, but it's one of those movies where like still like if you're not really in the mood, you could just watch go YouTube it. We're like,
Doorman,
this is a solid movie.
Beginning to end, you should watch the whole movie.
Yeah, it's fun, exactly, and also the fighting is spaced out pretty well too.
Yes,
as it all happened at the end or happened all in the middle, like it's pretty well spaced.
Like I'm probably eventually gonna watch this again. Like it's that type of movie. I'll actually watch it again, and we haven't got one of those in a while.
Yeah. Yep.
Besides Money Plane.
Oh, well, of course. Every weekend, I watch it almost every night before bed. It's best you go to sleep at night.
It helps me go. It's my melatonin. But what's your first similar movie?
So this is probably no surprise because we're kind of like it will be a theme here, and you guys will pick up on it real quick. Under Siege, because Under Siege is Die Hard on a boat, and that's pretty much going to be a theme. Pretty much is Die Hard in something, because that's really what this movie is. This is Die Hard in an apartment building. Under Siege is Die Hard on a boat. Same thing. One guy going around who's specially trained, setting traps, picking up people one by one. Really good hand-to-hand combat, action scenes. It's actually pretty similar. I mean, beyond the Jean Reno and stealing paintings, but just overall feeling of it kind of feels the same. The dark atmosphere to it, like even the fighting style, everything about it, like feels very similar to it. I really was reminded a lot of Under Siege watching this movie.
My first movie is Die Hard on a Bus.
There you go. Exactly. Yep.
It has Keanu Reeves and Dennis Hopper. Hopper's the villain. And what's his? Who plays his partner again?
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels. And obviously Sandra Bullock's in it.
Yes.
It's pretty much everything. This doesn't have really fighting in it though.
No, but it is an action movie though.
A lot of stunts. Like car stunts.
Yes, a lot. A lot of special effects and action set pieces.
A lot of the movie is based off tension.
It's suspense. The whole thing is just suspense. I mean, literally the bus cannot go under what 54, uh-huh. 55 miles an hour.
But
whatever
it is. Even though you know the story, you could watch it again because the movie is made so well.
Yeah, the editing and the script and the pacing of the movie is unparalleled. It's so great. Like to this day, it's hard to pick another movie that has such good pacing of that movie because like it doesn't stop for a minute. I mean, it's called Speed for a reason, but like it just never lets up.
Keanu Reeves is like on point.
From the beginning of the movie to the very end when he has to go find Dennis Hopper and everything, like, it's just great.
Which is, like, enough, like, crazy things, like, hanging under the bus to try to defuse the bomb, getting people off the bus when the bus jumps the thing, smashing through cars.
Yep,
then,
yep.
like, it moves to a train at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, so, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, I love Speed. Speed's a great movie.
Yeah. No, it's the classic. Absolutely. My second movie again.
Me too.
Theme here. Cliffhanger, which is Die Hard on a Mountain, basically with Sylvester Stallone and Joe Lithgow as a bad guy, where he's trying to get his $100 million, hiding it on the mountain. And you know, of course, Sylvester Stallone. I guess he loses his girlfriend or wife in the beginning of the movie.
Michael Rooker's wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, like a Rooker's wife.
It's his partner in the mountain climbing.
Mountain climber. And the whole time is basically, he just has to survive on a mountain while these bank robbers try to get their money back while killing everybody. But it's essentially the same thing. It's one man against a crew of thieves trying to survive and using his wits to outsmart the bad guys and using his rock climbing skills to save the day. But
Rennie Holland's best movie, hands down.
Yeah.
Die Hard 2 was a bomb, but
horrible.
He made
horrible.
Up for it with Cliffhanger.
Yes, Cliffhanger is, again, a suspenseful film. And you actually feel, because you feel how vulnerable Stallone is, because he's not a trained, like, he's not like a cop or anything.
He's a rescue climber,
exactly. And so he's definitely pitted against people who he's not ready for. And just, you know, I like his character and I like the movie. I think the movie still holds up to this day, too.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so fun. Good. It's a fun movie.
Heard they're going to remake it with a girl.
They might, yeah. Ruby Rose should be in it.
Stallone was talking, like, mentioning it, that, you know, they want to do a female lead. Like, hey, get Ruby Rose.
Work. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So I went with my second movie. I went with the whole Marine, the ex-Marine, saving a kidnapped person. Mm-hmm. I went with the movie The Marine 2.
Okay.
Mr. Ted DiBiase, the son of the Million Dollar Man's in this.
Okay.
And him and his wife are like on some like little island having like a party at like this hotel. And the hotel gets taken over by terrorists or thieves.
Yeah.
And basically he's an ex-Marine and he has to save the day.
Yep.
Very similar. It has a really, really good fight where he fights these two Muay Thai guys in the middle of the movie.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a good movie. It has a lot of action in it, a lot of fun stunts and stuff like that.
Sounds good.
It's when WWE Films was like, let's make big budget movies instead of this money playing garbage.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, thank God they moved away from money playing garbage because that wasn't really working out for nobody.
But basically any movie with like a diehard plot that has a decent budget will fit into this doorman style of film.
Yes, yeah. Which is good. Again, this is a typical, again, action movie trope, which is fun, though. Like, it's a fun concept. I think it gives way for, like, originality and ingenuity to make fun scenes. Right?
A lot of movies get it wrong, too, because, like, the one guy you're following, girl, guy, has to be likable, but you're just following one person.
Yes, it's all
that.
If
that person doesn't have some type of charisma or something you want to watch, like Ruby Rose, she's not the most charismatic, but she's likable.
Yeah.
Some movies
you are rooting for her.
For example, Welcome to Sudden Death.
Yeah,
they made
yeah.
Michael Jai White completely unlikable in that movie.
Yeah, like, he's almost like insufferable in it.
Yeah, like, he is. He's like almost like he's insufferable.
You're like, oh man, stop with your machoism and all this stuff. Like, I get
overdone.
It. I get it. You're a tough guy. You're big and strong. Like, you don't have to shove it down my throat every 5 seconds. That's what it feels like watching that movie. You know,
it's in order for this type of movie to work, the hero has to look like they might not win.
Yeah, they have to be, especially in these diehard style
films.
Yes,
that's what I mean.
The whole point is they're vulnerable. They have to be vulnerable. If they don't feel vulnerable, then it's not suspenseful.
Michael Jai White never looks vulnerable.
Not even a moment. Even as most vulnerable, he's not vulnerable. He's like ripped and like
ready to go. He fights three guys, just beats the shit out of them.
like to a hilarious degree. Like, it's not even a fight. Like, he just whoops their asses. Like, it's not even like suspenseful. Like, oh no, is he gonna win? Like, there's no doubt in my mind he wins.
The movie The Second, which is another Die Hard style movie in the dormitory.
Yeah,
At least Ryan Phillippe looks like he got the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, in the weight room especially too.
He's like, please stop.
He's like, stop. What are you doing? Like,
when he hit the
whiny
voice,
that's so
funny.
Good. It's so good.
But like, yeah, someone has to get their ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to be likable. They have to get their ass kicked.
Well, they have to be in a situation where they're vulnerable.
They have to be able for you to believe they're going to take the villains out.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a hard balance to strike. It's not easy. Like, it's not easy to pull it off, especially for the actors. Like, you know, but like, I think at least with Doorman, she's likable, but yeah, she just lacked that bit of charisma that could have really put this over the, you know, put over the
top. It just
could
have been an underground classic if she had that charisma.
Yes,
that was like that was like a Bruce Willis, like where you're like, wow, like, she doesn't have any one-liners in the whole movie.
None.
That's another thing.
And you know what? And you could tell that she can't do those because they didn't even try.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
You know what I mean? Because I know the movie, they would have tried to give her a couple of bad ones just for fun, but they realized, like, no, she can't do this. Like, she can't.
And I get it. Like, most people wouldn't say one-liners after they kill someone if they wanted to be realistic. But one-liners are what makes, like, the character so likable.
Yeah, and one-liners, it could be, like, a joke. Or I have one-liners, like, when you kill someone, just, like, in general. Like, it's in general in conversation or whatever.
Even
like,
when she's talking to the kid, when her and the kid are running around, nothing's funny. Like,
nothing's
she's, like,
funny.
Dead serious.
Everything. Even when she gets the job and everything, like, everything's serious. She's not joking with the guy, other people, the family members, nothing. Like, it's all very serious. And also, she thank God she kind of changes out of it later on, but, like, that doorman suit doesn't really fit her properly either.
Man, she looks
it looks
stupid.
Goofy. Yeah, it looks goofy. She looks
like
goofy.
Down to her ankles.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the outfit she wears with the heels looks bad.
Yeah, it doesn't.
When she
goes
for dinner, it's like a similar shirt that's like too long on her.
Yeah, I was like, who was like the costume designer for this? Like, it's just weird. I don't mind the bellhop outfit, but it was meant for like a dude, like a big guy, and they just put it on her. Is that tailored for her anything? Like, I mean,
then when she gets in the jeans and shirt, like, finally she has something that's tailored for her, and she looks like she can move.
Because imagine you're trying to fight in that bellhop outfit, it would be ridiculous.
Thank God they didn't go there.
Thank God they didn't go there. With an Agent 47 problem again.
Where the suit... Well, Agent 47... Timothy Oliphant, the suit was like four sizes too big. It was Vin
Petty's
Diesel's suit, because he was the first person to slide
literally, off. and they couldn't get a new suit, so they just had him wear the same one.
Those necks, like, in it, but, like, the collar of the necks, like... Two, three necks too big for him.
The pants are all baggy. They're hanging like over his shoes and everything. Like,
the shoulder of the jacket's like almost down halfway his bicep.
Like, you know, when you're 12, you don't have a suit to wear to so your dad, so your mom.
Your dad's hand-me-down suit.
Yeah, your old brother's hand me down or whatever. You have to wear it. You look totally awkward.
You don't got time to tailor it. Like, just go.
It's one night. Who cares?
You fold up the sleeve underneath and you go out with your big ass suit jacket.
Yes, literally. Like, you know, the buckle of your pants, but the pants fold over. Because they're too big, so you have to buckle it too small. Oh,
you're
man,
like, I don't
so
have time.
Big.
Like, let me bobby pin your pants up so you can go out. That's Timothy Oliphant in friggin' Hitman?
Hitman, Agent 47.
No,
yeah.
We need to review that just to talk about this, because this is like one of the best things ever is his outfit.
We do. Because the sequel isn't too terrible.
Which one, the sequel?
To Agent 47, yeah.
Oh, I hate the sequel.
I like the original better. It's not good. But the sequel has, that's right, the sequel's with, what's his name? I forgot his name. He's not a good actor either. It's not Timmy Olyphant.
The guy who plays Spock.
It's really bad. The action scenes in that movie. Really
the first one's the better one.
It's better, but it's not.
But the first one has that sword fight, which is like really fun.
Yes, at least his suit fits the guy better in the second one.
The second guy actually looks like Hitman. Timothy Olyphant. I don't know what was going on. We'll get to that another day.
We will.
All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode on The Doorman. We recommend it. And this is Mr. Action signing out.
And this is Frankie Cranks. Until next time, guys.